Good afternoon. It's a joy to be on the broadcast again today. We're sort of a moving item. We lost our home, and our church has opened up the parsonage, and it's right within 25 feet or 20 feet of the highway, and you might hear a car or a truck go by. Maybe I should call the broadcast for the next few months along the road together. But I hope the noise won't interfere, and we've got to get more broadcasts coming your way. Today I want to preach on the subject, Washed Clean Forever. I'm reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 17. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's Hebrews 10. And then on into the 17th verse it says, for their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Since the beginning of time, man has had to learn to clean up from the polluting things around him. In Bible times, there were no fancy washing machines, pleasurable bathing facilities, backyard pools, and all the pleasure products of cleansing as today. Water, however, was very important to cleansing away the dirt which accumulates on the human body and around us. But water has no power to take away the curse of sin and make a person clean before God. On several trips to India, I've stood as hundreds lined up on the banks of the Ganges River. Their religion required them to bathe as an act of faith, which falsely promised to wash away their sin. Tears filled my eyes as I watched the sincerity on their faces as they hoped the water would bring forgiveness for the evil they had done in their lives. How blind they were! How very tragic their false religion was deceiving them! Here in the USA, many churches falsely present baptism as a means of washing away the curse of sin. Others use communion to teach what the Bible says, and this is not being washed from sin. The Bible of being washed from sin, the problem rather, being washed from sin finally ended in the Jewish religion, as many understood the shedding of the animal's blood. And it was adopted as a symbol of righteousness. To this day, the Jews zero in on shedding of blood. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 says, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering ofttimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. In the Old Testament, they offered sacrifices over and over to cover up their sins. However, the blood of animals didn't take away sins. False religions develop many ways to picture what was needed and still offer substitutes today to confuse religious seekers. The list of false hopes to gain heaven. Let's see if I can think of. Here are some of the things that very sincerely a number of religions, and I'm not being unkind, I just want to show you from the Bible. Here's a list perhaps I can put together of the things that folks hope will gain heaven. And it seems like it's an endless list. It goes on and on. You've got religious folks that say, if I obey God's laws and commandments, that'll get me to heaven. Oh, no, my friend. The Bible's very clear on that one. You've got kind people that in the midst of these days of poverty and problem and want will give gifts to charity, and who think if they've given gifts to charity, God will see their kindness. And of course, the Bible does speak about kindness, but it does not refer to it being a part of the salvation of your own personal soul. Some people say, well, I'm doing my best. I do this, I do that. And other people say, I'm living a good life. And some people say, well, I'm doing good works. Doesn't that have anything to do with getting me to heaven? No, my dear friend. These are man-made concoctions. Other people say, well, I'm trying to obey the golden rule. Well, good for you. You obey the golden rule, and it'll help you as a child of God to be the kind of a person that the Lord can bless in reaching out to others. And the birds may sing nearby and all the rest as you keep your golden rule, but that doesn't save your soul. Some people put a lot of thinking on tithing and giving money to the church, and I want to state very clearly it's great to tithe your income, and it's great to give your money, a tithe at least, to a great gospel-preaching church. But church membership or attendance does not give you personal salvation. Well, some of the folks rely on prayers and fasting. That won't do it either. You can pray, read a prayer, think a prayer, rehearse a prayer. You won't be nearer heaven than you were before. Your human body and mind just recited something that someone had told you to do. Water baptism, yes, that's important to a person who really believes, but that's not salvation. It's a picture of what salvation can do, however. Then there are those that keep their Holy Communion, some of the higher-ranking religions, and then put a great emphasis on Holy Communion that is offered. Once again, this is not salvation for your own personal soul. Then there are a lot of other people. I told you this list was long. Then there are a lot of other people who are born of Christian parents. My dad and my mom, they were great Christian parents. Why? Didn't that make me a Christian? No. Some people go through confirmation. No. Penitence? No. Extreme unction? No. And then over in India and various other places, you've got idol worshipers. And here in the churches, high churches, you've got bead counting and recited religious creeds and the worship of Jesus' mother and man-made gods on every side. These things, my friend, do not cleanse your soul of sin. And then some of the crowd that don't like to go to church much anyway, they go for the membership in the lodge or the fraternity. Again, that won't save your soul, and on and on and on. All of the above are dead ends and offer no cleansing for your sin-sick soul. Only Jesus can wash away your sin in his own blood. We read, for by grace are you saved through faith. Do you hear that? Grace, God's grace, saves you by your faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You can do absolutely nothing to your own flesh to save your soul. Your flesh is condemned under the curse of sin. And you cannot guarantee heaven for yourself by the efforts that you achieve. Heaven is not based upon what you do, but what you believe. Let me say that again. Heaven is not based upon what you do, but what you believe. By him are all things that believe justified of all things that which he could not be justified by the law of Moses, Acts 13:39. By faith you must receive Jesus Christ into your own life. Here's a verse in John, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John 1, verses 12 and 13. Oh, that's so clear. Think about it. All of man's ideas for washing from their sin fail, and no more animal sacrifices are needed, because it was only through the sacrifice of God's own given Son on the cross that the blood can be offered and applied to the believing soul. Now think of some things. Animal sacrifices, first of all, was a picture of God's Son, the final offering for sin. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. One does not receive eternal life by working for it or by trying to make yourself behave. You receive eternal life by believing the record God gave of his Son. And if you disagree with this, you're calling God a liar. In 1 John 5:10 and 11, it says, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Not in your doings, but in the finished work of his Son that was sent to die on the cross and pay for your sin and mine. God in his sovereignty permits man's destiny to depend on his man's own choice. The choice is to kneel at the foot of the cross, confess you are a sinner, and trust in the washing away of sin from the record of your life. When man comes to repentance and seeks forgiveness, all the power of Christ cleanses you from sin. The big question is, have you trusted in his sacrifice for the remission of your sin? If so, you have his promise of cleansing and forgiveness forever. Acts 2:21, it shall come to pass that whosoever, listen, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All of man's religious devices cannot cleanse for sin, but only the blood of Christ can do this. All else waters down sin, tries to make it more acceptable, and presents false hopes, and the cleansing that counts is not there. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. Did you hear that? I am the way, said Jesus. My second thought is that Jesus offers complete cleansing from guilt and sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin, cries 1 John 1:7. Man's worthless sacrifices and worship acts must be often repeated, but to no avail, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. That's Hebrews 10 and verse 4. The old hymn says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When Christ shed his blood on the cross, it became the only washing agent approved by God. When anyone trusts in his finished work, he becomes born-again believer, cleansed, and forgiven for eternity. Don't allow Satan to bring up your past sins and failures. The eternal detergent, the blood of Christ, has washed them all away, and they will not be remembered against you again. Total cleansing is yours when the Savior comes into your heart. Oh, praise his holy name forever. And then, my friend, third, his one offering has perfected us forever. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified or set aside, the ones whose price has been paid, and they've accepted the Christ who paid it. As Eve and man nailed Jesus to the cross, they thought that would end their problems and end him forever. They watched to see if God would deliver him. Through their deed of hatred, they fulfilled the will of God for his Son. Jesus became the last and final complete means of cleansing sin when he offered his blood. Remember, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. Well, in closing thoughts, only through Jesus Christ are we made completely clean, for nothing else could take away our sin. Having believed, we are declared fully clean. Praise God. Furthermore, God states, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, in Hebrews 10:17. I love the old hymns. I have no respect for the new stuff. Here's an old one by P.P. Bliss. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Cling to the cross and burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. God help you to trust Jesus today is my prayer.